2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Then we pray. Alright. Father, we ask and we receive wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of your Son Jesus. We desire to have this morning fresh revelation and application of the truth that is found in Christ. That every ear and every heart receives this revelation as we behold Him as He sees us in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Somebody was telling me the other day, he actually posted it on social media, and I kind of like what he said. He said, quoting people out of context is just like you wrote a letter to your boss at work. Something like, sir, I will not be able to resume again. Come on. I have to travel to see my mom. Come on. So I'll be back by weekend. So, you're looking for a rema? You say, I will not be able to resume again. So your boss just takes that statement to say that you have left work. You know, that does injustice to whoever wrote it. Are you following what I'm saying? So context is very key in understanding revelation knowledge, the Bible truth. You cannot lift a statement out of context. It destroys everything he has said. Just like what I mentioned now. You know, it never, what I just said now, if I just quote, I will not be able to resume again without saying because of so and so, and I'll be back next week. You know, there's no way you can capture what I was saying. And that's something many people do with the Bible. You just leave the statement out of context. And I've always told you this. The Bible was not written for quoting. It was written for explanation. Not to quote. And that's what the devil was doing to Jesus. He was just quoting. And people do that a whole lot. They just quote. No, you don't just quote. You explain. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for quoting. Huh? Huh? For references? For what? For explanation. So, if you have a text of scripture, you must explain it. So, sometimes, because I write a lot on social media, scripture, and I find people that just come from nowhere, almost like from Hades. They just post a scripture, boom! I say, you can't just post. Initially, I used to bother my head and try to explain, but now I start deleting it. If you can post a scripture, you explain it. Because you need to realize that the Bible doesn't contradict itself. So, you need to learn to explain. I won't spend 1-2 hours putting thoughts together, and somebody from Hades just, so why am I saying that? Okay, Sheol, or what? Gehenna. He just, boom! From where? Somebody spent hours to put something out. You just looked at it like a demon. Let me look for a contradiction somewhere. You don't do that. You don't quote the Bible out of context. Scriptures are not for reference. Scriptures, and that's why personally, I don't use concordances to study. If I do that at all, because they'll list similar words, but which means different things in context. Context is key. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Alright, 2 Timothy 2:15. I almost said all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's in my mind. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've looked at the meaning of this statement, and we said the word rightly dividing is the word orthotomeo. You should know that by now. careful handling of the truth. And I use mining as an illustration for you. I hope you remember that. Remember that. Accurately and carefully handling the word. Accurately and carefully. So, that's a key thing. If anybody calls you to share the word of God, even in your office, even in a family meeting, you have to accurately divide the word of truth. It's not an excuse to say nonsense. Even in a children's church. That's why in our children's church, we have teaching outlines. If you have children's church, you could do it, you could test it yourself. Just walk up to them and ask the child, those who are, you know, capable, and ask them, what does it mean to be saved? They'll tell you. If you ask them, at that age, do you lose salvation? They'll say flat no. They'll tell you why. Hallelujah. Because our children's church is not for showing banning. Or just keep them busy. You know, keep them busy. They'll say, hey, Jesus loves the children, other children of the world. So he thinks he just loves the children, hates the fathers. Amen. That's not a joke, that's true. So, you don't rightly divide the word truth. Now he says, a workman that need not be ashamed, which is, have I ever spelled that word for you before? Anepais chontos. Did I ever spell it for you? I did? Come on, guys, I did. My pronunciation may be horrible, but my spelling was good. Alright? A-N-E-P-A-I-S E-C-H-U-N-T-O-S. Looks like a Chinese word to me. It means someone who discharges his duties in a very professional manner. A very proper manner. He does it with pride and dignity. And need not be ashamed. Right? And that's the same word Paul used in Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed, same word, of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. He's not, you know, some Christians, they can talk about other things. There was someone's marriage that got on social media, and I saw a brother talk about it. I said, hey, brother, I've never seen you talk about Jesus. You're such a carnal Christian. This is all you have to offer. They talk about someone's marriage. Are you married? No. You're crazy. Aren't you crazy? How can a Christian be a busybody? Come on, think about it. I know the Bible says go into all the world, but it didn't say go into all the spread Jesus. So they're going to all the world, so they're going from house to house. Talking about people. But let's talk about Jesus. They know very little. They know, no, I'm not a pastor. Eh? Are you a coach? I talk about club. The shame. For you to be a Christian, 2-3 years, just a Christian, not, you are not yet made the senior pastor, what they call the lead pastor, or head pastor. You are not yet that, but you should be able to handle the word of truth if you are studying. Some guys find it difficult to read the Bible for 1 hour, 1 hour, but they can read people's stories on blogs. They find it difficult to stay in the church service in 2 hours you're preaching, but they can stay and watch a movie 3 hours. It shows where your life is. Some guys cannot even recall what you preached on Sunday afternoon. But they know the lyrics of Two-Face song. Even unconsciously, without even thinking they were going to sing, they are singing. What kind of life is that?
rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. Same words Paul used it for Timothy. Let's keep going. 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:12. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. 2 Timothy 1:16. And was not ashamed of my chains. So he used that word a whole lot of times. Not ashamed. I'm bold about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, what's he telling Timothy? You must be bold. Or better still, you must be proud about proper Bible interpretation. Hallelujah. Have you observed that when you're talking in some places, they say, he's sounding too arrogant, like he knows everything. Have you heard that before? Then like he knows everything. When I was younger, I used to say, why are you thinking like that? But as I began to grow, I used to say, yes, I do know everything. To your face. You know, but that's exactly what Paul is saying. A workman that need not be ashamed. Hallelujah. God, years ago when I was taking jam lessons, I was at Offshore Tutors. And we were doing a physics class, and I was from Government College, but they say, that's the only GCI in Nigeria. Other ones are figures of speech. And the man, he was talking about, I think it was Charles Law, I think. Charles Law is the gas law, right? So, I was in the class just laughing around because we were very boastful in my school. So, he made a mistake. And I said, sir, you're wrong. And everybody looked back. Huh? They said, come and correct us. I thought I was going to shy away from that. I walked up to the board and I took the duster and I cleaned up everything he wrote. Because I knew exactly what I was going to say. So when I was through, then he said, what school are you from? I smiled. Government College, man. So I sat back. So they asked him in the class, what do we do? He said, you better start copying what he wrote. That's what it means, right? And I'm not being ashamed. So I sat back and I thought, if I can correct the teacher, there's no point coming for this class again. Hallelujah. Was in school one time, university now. A lecturer, she's a professor. She was teaching on women's rights, which was my area, an area of concentration for me because I believe in human rights a lot. So she said, she was talking about the Bible. I was not too good in that class. So she said, it was my 500 level. She said, the Bible is this one. I said, huh? I said, ma, you're wrong. If I look back, because I was in that back in school, but not in church. So when some folks look back, they say, oh, that guy. She said, what do you mean? So I got up and I began to quote the Bible. I said, okay, I agree with you. And I sat back and I slept back, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you've got to be proud, not fleshly pride, but you've got to be bold about proper Bible interpretation. Hallelujah. You must not speculate as a preacher of the gospel. He says, approved unto God, which we said is the Greek word dokimos. Dokimos means tested and tried. Now, quickly, let's look at something that Paul gave us an instruction. Verse 16. Are you there? 2 Timothy 2:16. But Sean, as a name, I think Sean is a name. Kishon. Sean, profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. look at that word profane and vain babblings. Profane is from the word kenophonia. K-E-N-O-P-H-O-N-I-A. It actually means that is profane. It means empty talk. Just talking. Empty. Have you seen some people, you're talking the word of God and they begin to use logic. What if? What if? What? Somebody was asking me a question. He said, why I would not believe the gospel is, what about those that don't hear it? So how is that your business? You just heard it. Now how do you know they didn't hear it? The history has told us which history. How do you know? So you were looking at him like a moo-moo. True. So you don't know. I said, you're just looking for an opportunity to be an unbeliever. But it's fine. Go to hell. It's your choice. You see, that's what's called profane babblings. You just heard, and you're asking about those who did not hear. How do you know they didn't hear? How did they know that you heard? Empty talk. Hallelujah. The Bible says, shun it. Profane babblings. And notice, Paul gives this instruction. Come on here one more time. Look at it. Profane and vain babblings. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. We'll come to that. 2 Timothy 2:16. He says the same thing. That word opposition of knowledge, arguments, is the word antithesis in the Greek. Antithesis. Oppositions. Some guys just begin to use logic. Logic. What if somebody tells a lie and Jesus Christ should blow his trumpet now, what will happen? He will hear it. You know, so it's just vain babbling. What if, you know, and Paul says you avoid it. Any talk that does not involve the scriptures being rightly interpreted is vain babbling. Profane. You may argue, but this one, but that. I recall a guy who's telling me he doesn't believe in the supernatural. And that's because you went to the UK, Abby. You are a Nigerian man. I said, when next you are in the country, come. I'll take you to some places. I will not follow you. You will go. Then you tell me whether you don't believe. I said, bring all your gadgets. He said, what, are you threatening me? I said, no, I'm not threatening you. I just want to have practicals. You don't believe. Hey, give yourself some brain. You get that? Some of them, I don't believe demons exist. Obviously. You are a proof. You get it. Some guys are just ridiculous thinkers. Anything I cannot see, I don't believe. Yeah, they will tell you, you have so, so and so in your blood. Say, eh? Did you see it? I didn't see it, but the man saw it. How did he see it? The machine saw it. Not you. Hallelujah. The Bible says you avoid it. Don't say avoid. That word avoid is a word peristeli in the Greek. It means to stand aloof. Just be watching. There are some
conversation you don't get yourself involved. I know some guys, they are so active, and it happens, you know, when you get a hold of the word the first time, you think that you should be talking all over the place. And I've experienced that before. And I see them on social media, particularly Facebook. One guy posed a question 2 days ago. I said, what's the essence of this question? So I just want to have people to just study. I said, no, you are just jobless. This question is a silly question. Can a new creature become an old creature because he stopped believing? I said, what's that question for? Can a new creature become an old creature? You know, he's just a busybody. It's not that he can explain anything about new creature and old creature and believing. Hallelujah. Curiosity is not necessarily healthy. Curiosity is not necessarily healthy. If you're in a church where the word of God is taught, stay with what they are teaching you. And stop running all over the place. I want to know, someone say, I want to know about this. I said, the one I'm teaching you in church, have you known it? Say, I'll still come back to it, but I want to know. You see? Curiosity. Hallelujah. Are you there? He said, it will lead to more ungodliness. It will advance the cause of ungodliness. That will lead to, you find in Luke 2:52, prokopto in the Greek, and Romans 13:12. It will advance it. Galatians 1:14. It will just lead to more. It's not going to increase knowledge. It only leads to more ungodliness, such vain babblings. Don't get yourself entangled. Do you know that you know those who want to learn? Have you observed that? Jesus never took time to do teaching meetings for Pharisees and Sadducees. Did you observe it? He just ignored them. They were not willing to learn. He didn't waste his time. Because they won't hear. Paul will say, I just said it so that you hear it. You separate those who want to hear. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now, it says it will increase what? More ungodly. The word ungodliness there is another Greek word, asebelia. A-S-E-B-E-L-I-A. Asebelia. Asebelia means irreverence. Irreverence. There are some folks. Somebody said, I found out there are some books that were not included in the Bible. You found out there's a, said, I'm studying them. Have you studied the Bible? No. You are studying the ones that are not there. You are a genius. You are just an idiot. These guys are the wise man. What are you looking for? I said, where did you find salvation? Said in the Bible. So what are you looking for outside it? Danger. You found salvation in the Bible? You are looking for something else. What you are looking for, you will find it. Yeah, I know. So I was just thinking. Thinking what? And oftentimes, they will begin to question in their mind even the validity of the scriptures eventually. It will lead to more ungodliness. There are some discussions I don't entertain. No, I don't. So I was asking me, are we sure that Paul was not trying to get back at Apollos as all that? I said, when you get to heaven, ask both of them, sit them down and settle their quarrel. You know, ungodliness. Words that should not even come out of your mouth. Because you want to have knowledge. Nonsense.
Praise the Lord. Are you there? So it will lead to more ungodliness. So the key issue is this. Watch this. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Anything, any conversation that opposes proper Bible interpretation will lead to more ungodliness. So, what does he say? Watch this. Verse 17, 2 Timothy 2. You following this? Come on, guys, are you following this? And their word, that's the word message. Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Arminos and Philetus. The word canker is an old word for cancer, actually. Canker worm. Then he says, watch this. Who concerning the truth have heard, saying that the resurrection, that's what called the rapture, is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Can you imagine? Where did they hear this from? That the rapture is past already. That's the word resurrection. Nevertheless, this was speaking. The foundation of God stands sure. Now imagine if you're reading the Bible out of context and you say, hallelujah! The resurrection is past already. Oh, glory! You know, you'd be a genius to do that. Are you there? Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, what does the Lord knoweth them that are his? He's not talking about persons. He's talking about teaching. Okay? Not persons. So, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Referring to false teachings. Wrong doctrine. Quickly go to verse 23. Because of our time. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Foolish. Now, why is he writing this to Timothy? Because the previous verse says, flee from youthful lust. He knows that when you are young, you'll be curious. Run after everything. He said, foolish and unlearned questions. Avoid them. Avoid them. That word is ignorant speculations in the Greek. Zetesis. Ignorant speculations. Z-E-T-S-I-S. What will happen? What will happen? You know, those ignorant speculations. The word ignorant is another word. Apaldeutos, I'll spell it for you. A-P-A-L-D-E-U-T-O-S. It means when a man lacks home training. It was used for children that were not properly brought up. You have alpha, then pardios. You know, pardios is a trainer child. So you have alpha, that is negative. So it means someone that lacks home training. Have you ever met people like that before? They lack home training. They talk anyhow. They don't know how to greet. They're such folks. Avoid them. There's no spiritual training. None. Some don't even know how to ask questions. You know, how can someone, you want to ask a Bible question from a pastor, and say, are you now saying, I won't answer you. Are you now saying, that's someone that lacks training. You ask properly, sir or brother or sister, I was thinking, I've heard what you said, according to the scriptures. I'm thinking, how do we explain this verse in the light of what you have just said? You know, that's a good way of getting on. But say, are you now saying, so to me, are you now saying that this bishop is right, this bishop is wrong, sorry, that reverend is wrong? No, I said, they are right, I'm wrong. Are you okay? So he couldn't argue again. He said, they are right, I'm wrong. Can we move on? He's not asking the question to learn. You know, there were questions that the Pharisees asked Jesus. They weren't doing to learn. They would say, somebody marries a first husband, he dies. Imagine how they thought. Second one, he dies. Abba. Third one. Fourth one. Is he a wife or a knife? And then Jesus said, well, he said, you err, because you neither know the scriptures nor the power of God.
And that's how he answered them. What an answer.
He said, in the resurrection. And everybody said, we don't know that one.
These are unlearned questions.
You avoid them. They are not asking them to learn. No.
Hallelujah. Are you getting this? Are you following this? Paul says you avoid them. Quickly look at this. 1 Timothy 6:4. 1 Timothy 6:4. Titus 3:9. Just ignorant speculations. 1 Timothy 6:4. He is proud, knowing nothing, and dotting about with questions and strife of words. Titus 3:9. Avoid foolish questions and genealogy.
See how many times Paul is repeating himself. As some of you will stay on that, on your campus, I know. You be there hours. I've seen people, Melambi Hall, University of Ibadan. We found them fighting over doctrine. They were fighting physically. I would take it. It's not true. It's not, and over doctrine. I've seen folks in Ogun State University. They brought out a cutlass to chase members of our ministry. I'm not joking. You know where we're going? Cutlass. They slap one brother, I think, with one of them. The word! The word!
If they cannot explain the Bible, they can buy your fellowship. Have you seen people do that? They said the Joint Christian Movement, Association of All Churches on Campus, they will ban fellowships. And Grave Message will be there. They will leave them alone. Jehovah's Wickedness will be there. They will leave them alone. But they will be after those who preach the Bible. Don't allow them, oh. Don't allow them. It's demons. It's demons. I'm telling you, cutlass. Something very in Melody Hall. B14. Yeah, B14. Tito! Iga! Tore! Isadu! Isadu!
Hallelujah. So sometimes when you speak scripture and it seems like both of you don't see eye to eye, they stop talking to you. How I called you yesterday, eh? When? I didn't see it. But it's wrong. What if it's wrong? What's wrong with you? Do you think you're always right all the time? I said, I didn't see it.
My eyes have seen the glory of God. But that's what they keep asking silly questions. And that's the same thing they did to John the Baptist. They were asking John the Baptist, John 3:25.
Said, Jesus' disciples are also baptizing. What do you think? They were not saying it to learn. It's just to cause confusion.
John 3:25.
Somebody asked, he said, I was listening to Kenneth Hagin, and he said this. I knew where he was going. He said, and I heard what you have said. He said, I was listening to Kenneth Hagin, and he said this. And I heard what you have said. Here and there. I said, hey. He said, which one does the Bible say? He said, I'm only asking for your opinion. He said, my opinion. What's my opinion in this one? Hallelujah. I said, you saw the Bible, you're asking me. So those kind of questions, they were not asked to learn. They were asked to create strife. So you avoid them. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Let's go further. Look at Acts 15. Verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined, that is, there was disputation.
What was the question? The question was, can a person be called a Christian? He has believed the gospel, but he has not been circumcised. That was the question. Obviously, it was just something to create strife. Nothing more. So, you avoid all those kind of things. People can come and learn. I'm not saying avoid questions. Don't get me wrong. No, don't avoid questions. If you ask questions, you answer them. But avoid foolish questions. Unlearned ones. Avoid it. And that's what they did here. Look at Acts 25. Verse 20. Same thing. The manner of questions. So it's not every question that is healthy. So how do you know? You know by the kind of question that they ask. How did they ask the question? You know. Like I said, the subject is quite it deals with traditions, and people, when it comes to traditions, people can fight. I mean, they can throw blows. Ah! Are you now saying to avoid it? What I do oftentimes, particularly on the social media, I refer people to audio material. Most of the time, if not all the time, they no longer have questions. Because they will listen to it on their own. Without thinking, this is the Bible. Because sometimes when you're answering them in the media, they have ego. And they think, he hold me. Reverend, Doctor, Professor, Circle Bishop. So, and they have their own followers following. So you avoid questions that bring strife. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Look at verse 24, 2 Timothy 2. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach. What's apt to teach? Apt to teach means you are skillful to teach. Don't say skillful. Say skillful. You've got to be skilled. It's not good enough to know something. Where's your Bible, brother? Alright, good. Something like when you come to church, see, I write down what I'm preaching. I expect people that listen to me to write down what I'm saying. That's how to learn. You know what I'm talking about? I've been preaching over two decades. I don't go to church without writing. But I'm learning. I'm not just learning. I'm learning what I've learned. And I'm learning to teach what I've learned. When we come to church without notes, it's a careless attitude. You don't expect that someday you'll be asked to say the same thing. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, are you following what I'm saying? Good. So, keep Bible interpretation your focus. Not sentiments. Not traditions. In John's Gospel chapter 5 verse 39, Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You search the scriptures. For in them you think. He said, but you will not come to me that you may have life. Now, that means you can even diligently search. And then your search is not honest. You know, some people, when you say something, they will not go and be searching something to oppose you. Have you ever heard that? They are searching to oppose you. Where's that verse again? That verse. Remind me. This nonsense that you might say. That verse. He doesn't know it though. Where's that verse that says, many are called, few are chosen. Yes, yes, many are called. Many are called, few are chosen. How does that relate to what I'm talking about? So then, the Bible says, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. He says, wide is the way that leads to destruction. As I finish it. He said, and many shall be led there, something like that. Many, I said, no. I said, Jesus, he was not talking about the future. He said, look at it. Read it, Matthew 7. Few be that find it. He was talking about his acceptance by the Jews and rejection by the Jews. You search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. You are searching it to argue. You can't find life in that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Alright, that's some school of ministry thing. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm not a minister. What are you? You're a minister. You're just a disobedient one. The Bible says that everyone who is born again has a ministry of reconciliation. So you are just a disobedient one. Sometimes they don't even know they are reconciled to God. So where would they start ministering from? Hallelujah. Alright, let's go to baptism now, finally. 1 Corinthians 1:17. And that's my text. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. In other words, the preaching of the gospel successfully replaced baptism of water. Christ didn't send anybody to baptize with water. In fact, Paul had something into this that makes it a little bit interesting. He said, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. The practice of using symbols, it invalidates the message of the gospel. The practice of using water and other things, it takes away the veracity or validity, pardon me, of the preaching of the gospel. That Christ sent me not to baptize with water. Do you know the funny part? We're coming to that. Do you know Paul baptized people with water? He said it himself. Verse 14, verse 15, verse 16. Why said Christ didn't send me? I baptized Gaius, but Christ did not send me. Hallelujah. So anyone doing water baptism, Christ is not sent him. Now, if this is your first day in this series, don't be shocked. Go and listen to the things you have been saying so far. You won't be surprised. Christ did not send anyone to. So, we were examining, alright? Look at verse 14. Verse 13. So verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you. But Crispus and Caius. You know, yet I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. So Paul is so glad that he didn't baptize many people. Same way. Alright? I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. So, but why, Paul? Because Jesus did not send me to do it. Look at Corinth. You know, look at Acts 18. Last week, we found out, and I hope you did, that baptism does not always mean water. Last week, remember that? The word baptized does not always mean water. It means, it could mean wash, it could mean to insert into, it could even mean to put a sword into someone. Old word. It means to also put inside. So we must read it in context. Now look at Acts 18. Interestingly. Acts 18. Verse 7.
And he departed. This is, he was in Corinth here. He was at Corinth. He got, verse 1 says he was at Corinth. Acts 18. And he departed hence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined heart to the synagogue. Acts 18. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogues, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Was this water baptism or believed in the gospel? How do we know? It's even simple. He just told us that he could count in his five fingers the people he baptized in water. Yet, they were baptized in Corinth, but he wasn't referring to water. Are you following this? Come on, are you following this? He said, much people in verse 10, there were much people in the city. Much people, much believers, yet not much were baptized with water. Hallelujah. He mentioned, now notice something and pay attention. You know, Corinth was like a, Corinth is like London, where is a hotbed of different nationalities. If you've been to London before, you notice that the taxi driver, maybe Lebanese, the cook at the hotel, maybe a different kind of people. And you know that this is a hotbed of different nations, just like the United States of America. You know. And that kind of place has a lot of Jews as well. And that's why the letter to Corinth happened to address Jews and non-Jews. Because Corinth was a hotbed for everybody. Now, did you notice that the people he baptized were Jews? The ruler of the synagogue. Synagogues belong to Jews. Crispus, Gaius were Jews. And actually, arguably, the household of Stephanus were also Jews. Because obviously, baptism of water was a Jewish practice. So, he said, Christ sent me to preach and not to baptize with water. Are you following this? So, last week, we stopped at, you know, we're doing Acts of the Apostles review. Come on. Where did we stop? Acts 8. Right? We stopped at the Acts 8 example. So, let's go to Acts 9. Paul. Was Paul baptized with water? Was Paul baptized with water? Acts 9. Acts 9. When Ananias went to him, the Bible says in 17, Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mayest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forth, and arose, and was baptized. Now, there's a whole lot of a seeming complication in Paul's salvation experience. It's assumed, for example, that he got saved on the road to Damascus. Now, if he gets saved on the road to Damascus, that means he did not hear the gospel to believe. Now, you guys, pay attention now. Okay? Pay attention. If you're level 1, level 2, this must be included in the present truth that you received yesterday or 2 days ago. Selah. Was he saved? Now,
But someone said, well, he called him Lord. Calling Jesus Lord is not salvation. He called him Lord based on that experience. Not that he had suddenly believed the gospel on the road to Damascus. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Now, the safest thing we need to do is we'll need to look at the two times. There were two accounts, or three. Acts 22, then Acts 26. Three different accounts. Acts 22. Then Acts 26. I'll go to 26 first. Obviously, in Acts 26, he summarized the entire experience. He said, you know, in verse 15, I am Jesus whom you persecute, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which I have seen, of these things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the... So, he said all this, 28, about his ministry, and I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, and showed first unto them of Damascus. So, obviously, whatever he's saying in 26 had to do with his experience after Ananias had left him. He merged the Acts 9 experience of the road to Damascus and what happened in the streets called Straight. He merged them together. But in between it, he gave a more detailed explanation. Because here, he doesn't even mention Ananias at all. But Ananias was a major participant in his salvation experience. Because it was Ananias that told the church that he had believed. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? So, Ananias must be mentioned in his salvation experience. So, it took Paul days. Watch this. And I've said this before. Let me ask you. Why did Jesus appear to Paul on the road to Damascus? I've answered this question several times. Why? Why? What's this? That's not tongues. Why? To stop the persecution. Why did he appear to him in the house? For his ministry. Why was Ananias sent to him? For him to be saved and be filled with the Spirit. Why did Jesus appear to him in the house? For his ministry. Don't mix up those experiences. They are very distinct. I've taught you this before. So, come back again. He said, he rose and he was baptized. So go to Acts 22. Because when Paul was going to explain salvation, he said, with the heart man believe, how can they call on him whom they have not heard? So he had to hear the gospel. Now, and typically too, when a vision was shown to Cornelius, just the next chapter, he was asked to go and call someone who would say the words to him, wherewith he will be saved. So, what was Ananias' role? Very simple. Acts 22. Notice Acts 22. And there was with me, I saw indeed the great light. He was afraid. Verse 9. And they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? What shall I do? Is that not the same thing? They asked Peter, what must I do to be saved? Just the same way, the jailer, what should I do? What should I do? They said, what should I do? The Lord said, arise. Now Jesus couldn't preach to him. Arise and go to Damascus, and it shall be told unto thee of all things which are appointed for you to do. Are you listening to this?
Are you following me? Good. And when I couldn't see the glory of that light, seen by the then that with me, I came to Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews that dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto brother Saul, receive that sight. And the same hour I looked up unto him. And he said, look at this. The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou should know his will, and see that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men, for thou shalt of what thou hast seen and heard. Now, don't forget, I told you, every time Luke is reporting, he's reporting in a summary. Remember that last week? Remember that last week? Okay. Because Luke wasn't there. So, he's summarizing Paul's experience. And he says, and now, why tarry thou? 16. Let's say 16 together. Why tarry thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sin, calling on the name of the Lord. Who preached to Paul? Huh? Is this clear? Come on, is this clear? So what we read in Acts 19, and he rose and he was baptized, was it water or believing the gospel? Huh? Last week we said, water doesn't wash away sin. Right? So it's salvation in Christ that washes away sin. Right? Come on. Was that clear? Good. So, alright, quickly. Two things happened to Paul. I wrote in my notes, that's it. Number one, he was saved by baptism, which is the washing away of sins. Okay. And then he was filled with the Holy Ghost. So the word baptized will include two things. It will include two things. Baptism. It will include two things. Number one, the washing away of sins. And then the gift of utterance. So obviously, Paul was also filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 9:17. So was Paul baptized with water? We don't know. We have no record that he was. Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? Because we say baptized can mean to put in or to be put into. So, baptized could mean, well, he is immersed into Christ by the Holy Ghost. Or the Holy Ghost, you know, comes upon me. So, is that sorted? Is that sorted? Come on, guys. Is that sorted? Okay, let's go to another one. Acts 10. House of Cornelius. So, our reference will be Acts 10, 44 to 48. Write it down because we're coming there. Acts 10, 44 to 48. Acts 11, 15 to 17. Acts 11, 15 to 17. Acts 15, verse 7 to 9. Now, before now, only two sets of people had received salvation. One, the Jews. Two, the mixed Jews, Samaritans. Acts 8. Before now. And of course, we saw last week that the Enoch happened to be like a proselyte. The Ethiopian Enoch. So just two. So by Acts 10, Peter had a special revelation. And what was that special revelation? Acts 10:15, where God spoke to him in the vision. And said, whatever I have cleansed, do not call uncommon. Whatever I have cleansed, thou shalt not call, common. In other words, that vision was a change in the law. Because the word cleanse is the word katathizo, which refers to a change, a clean heart, a pure heart. Whatever I have made pure. Okay? But the question will be, why did God have to use a vision to tell Peter what Jesus had said expressly? You know, Jesus told them in Mark 16:15, go ye into all Jerusalem, and preach the gospel to all Jews. Come on, talk to me. What did he tell them? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Luke 24:47, he says, shall be preached in all nations. Matthew 28. Make disciples of every nation. So what happened? Why would they still not preach to non-Jews? It shows you how people find it difficult to adjust. It's difficult to adjust. For years, this was many, many years. And look at this. They heard it from the mouth of Jesus. And they still did not conform. In fact, wasn't that fun? Look at Acts 1:6. Jesus was telling them about the Holy Ghost. They were there when he said, my kingdom is not of this world. They heard that. They heard about the gift of the Holy Ghost. But look at what they still asked. Look at Acts 1:6. When would you restore? This is Jesus teaching. How many days did he spend to teach them concerning the kingdom? 40 days. So great salvation 1, 2, 3, 4, 5a, 5b. Law in Genesis. Law and prophet. And he says, but then, when? You can see the answer. He said, what are we saying? What are you saying? So imagine what was in their mind. In fact, they made Peter's sermon. Go and investigate it. He said, this promise is for you and to your children. Was that what Jesus told them? And your children. When I said, as many as are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. You could see that. They had not adjusted in their mind. What does that tell us? Revelation knowledge takes time. It takes time. That's why those who change churches like underwear, they never get established on anything. They'll come for first service in Saints Community, second service, Covenant Christian Center, because it's near themselves. Third service, they go to Daystar. And then because that's near Ikeja, fourth service, come. Before you know it, you will still go to Guru Maharaj. It's done on the same level. What is wrong with you? Say, I go to this church for the word. I go down for music. That one for deliverance prayers. Don't worry. Mix everything up. It took them time to adjust. After, you know, they were there. Okay, maybe they were not. But they heard about Jesus telling them, neither would you in this mountain worship God. And Peter and John, they were still going to the temple in the hour of prayer. They were still holding all meetings in the temple. It was persecution that made it house. So, it took them a while to adjust. They always thought that Israel was a key point. And there are still people today that Israel, they even collect money on TBA. For Israel. Israel. Give them your money. Israel is a rich country. Nigeria. And you are taking exact money to Israel. You need more than the salvation. So look at the question they asked. Acts 11:1. What was the point? You could see that even those who were born again. Look at what our point described by Ananias. A man devout of the law. Can you imagine? Ananias was a devout man of the law. What a testimony. Acts 11:1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. When Peter was come unto Jerusalem, up Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, Why did you go to them? Why did you eat with them? It was an issue. So it was not a small matter. Look at Acts 16. What was the issue? We read that earlier. That people should be circumcised after the manner of Moses. You cannot be saved. This is even after the vision of Peter. So, you can imagine how long the body of Christ has accepted water baptism without questions. Just imagine. So they say, it's been around for long, same as Islam. So, something been around for 1,000 years doesn't make it true. Sin has been around for 6,000 years plus. It's older than salvation. But the truth would outlive a lie. Hallelujah. Jesus did not ask the church to use water. Whether it is Jordan, or Sheraton swimming pool, or Magidun River, or the latest one is in the large waterfront. If you go there today, you see people there. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they'll be speaking in tongues there. What confusion. Hallelujah. Another one that can upset cats, maybe not this one, is the communion one. We'll get there. Hallelujah. You know, we saw it last week. Till the end of the book of Acts, till the very end, they were still practicing the law of Moses. Right? They were doing vows, they were doing purification. Born again people. Even Paul. So you can tell that Paul himself grew over time. Obviously, more light came to Paul after the Corinth experience. More light came. It was after then that he wrote to the Ephesian church and he told them. He said he had cancelled. He said, look at the Ephesians 2. He said he has broken down the middle wall of partition. Ephesians 2, 14. And 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, verse 15, in the ordinance, to make in himself one twin man, one new man, so making peace. Obviously, more light came after. It was after the Corinth example that Paul began to write letters. So more light had come to him. So we excuse his practices. Hallelujah. It was after, in fact, he didn't write any letter until he was taken into captivity. So more light came to him. Even though we saw he participated in the customs that he eventually taught that should not be followed. Are you following this? Are you following this? Look at Acts 15. Acts 15. You know, after Peter had spoken, we saw that last week, and he disabused. Okay, look at 7, verse 7 and 8. We saw that last week. Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God made choice amongst us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. God, bearing which bear the heart, which knows the heart, bore them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? So when he was through with that, look at what the apostle said. Verse 24. They now wrote to the Gentile churches in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Verse 24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. These are important things. Subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Somebody following me? Are you following this? He now said, it seemed good unto us
being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Watch this. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have sent there for Judas and Silas, who shall tell thee the same things by mouth. That is, they wrote them. They now said, now listen to this. For it seemed good to us, to the Holy Ghost and to us, to lay upon you no greater burden. Now watch this. Than these necessary things. That's the word epanges in the Greek. E-P-A-N-A-G-K-E-S. It means suitable restrictions. They are still giving laws. You know, some people say, we're under the law. But then, God gave us the Spirit so that we can do the law. Are you okay? That we don't fulfill the law of Moses, but the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can do the law. Hello? That's are you okay? Take that out, because that's a popular statement, so that I will not be accused of something else. But look, notice this. What are the bodies that you abstain from meats? Look at that. You abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. From which, see how they mix things. How can you mix fornication with meat offered to idols and strangled animals? How do they relate? If you keep yourself, you shall do well. Fear ye well. Why? Because earlier on they are said, in verse 20, we write unto you, unto them, that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, and from things strangled and from blood. Look at 21. For Moses, of all time, at in every city, them that preach, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. They were apostles, but they were not growing in the world. They were not. Apostles, though. So a man can have a title, but he's not growing. Are you there? Are you following this? Are you following this? So, the very first sermon, the very first sermon he preached, that was preached to the Gentiles in Acts 10, it still had a Jewish coloration. Because that's their mindset. There are people today, they have said they have embraced, what is this latest thing? Revelation of grace or evolution of grace, something, grace. But you will still see things in their spirit. You will see that they see something. You see there, when they bring it out, in the last days, you'll be shocked. So they say added things in the midst of it. I saw someone, I couldn't believe it. He's a respected, well, I respect him. He posted a picture of a cloud showing a horse. He said, he's coming soon. He said, bro, you shame me. On top of the word, picture. He said, the Bible said there will be signs. Which sign? Did you read that in the epistle? Which sign? Hey, signs of his coming. A baby be born with the Bible. Another one was born with Quran. Did you not finish? 1-1. One was born with Rosie, another with Tenfield. They came from the same place. Hallelujah. What was Peter sent to do? Before we go further, so you can see that the apostles still carried a Jewish orientation. Did you see it? Including Paul. My dear Paul. Not in his letters, but in his acts. He still had the Jewish coloration. Just like some people have African praise worship. African praise worship. Even the way they praise God is African. Alagbara biara. Alagbara biara. How did you come to that conclusion?
You know, all those orikis are legends in Yoruba culture. Sometimes they are used for deities. How can you call someone erujeje? Hey, be born again.
We have the witness of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? So, don't accuse Paul. Some of us do the same thing.
We have the, there's just that mentality.
Like I was saying to some pastors yesterday, God will help us.
So, the way we do marriages, Abba. People are still marrying in 6 months.
There's one, families will meet themselves.
6 months before the D-Day,
they will meet and they will eat food.
They will spend money. Then they will fix date. Date for what?
Are you not married?
You will fix date. Then you will fix the date. Then what? The date is not going to be the date.
There's engagement.
That one will come again to replay what we did the first day. There will be another set of clothes. Then when you do all that, the next day, what were you doing the Friday that is not yet married? Then the next day, wait, oh, they will not go to church. I will take time, we do the deliverance prayers, we spend money. Then when you are through, you go for reception. Again? And people will attend all the events. Some women fly to Dubai. It's special because they watch Ovation. And then he goes broke. I will never forget. On our wedding night, the kind of money I had in my pocket was a disgrace. I said, is this life? The woman was there. But there was no money. So when I talked to Mary, I said, be careful. Because everything you are doing is for people. It's not for your wife. You don't see what we're going to spend. So you marry me. No. She agreed before you did it. It's for people. So if you go and spend your life savings for people, they will not give you back.
That's for another day. I'm going to talk about marriage sometimes this year. Where were we?
What was Peter sent to say in the house of Cornelius? Look at Acts 10. Hope you are learning something. The angel said to Peter, to Cornelius, he lodged with one Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the seaside, Acts 10:6. He shall tell thee what you ought to do. You know it's the same thing, Paul. Right? He shall tell you what you ought to do. What was he told to say? Verse 22. Acts 10. Verse 22. Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feared God, of good report among all nations of Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee unto his house to hear words of thee. What was Peter sent to do? To say words. Are you following what I'm saying? Follow this well. Acts 11:14. Who shall tell thee? Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Words is the word rhema. Rhema means kind of words, particular statements. Acts 10:44. Hope you are following this. Verse 44. Let's take verse 44. Now he now began to preach, right? He began to preach. Verse 44. Look at 44. Let's take verse 44 together. Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spoke these words. Which words? Verse 42. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To give all the prophets witness that through his name, hallelujah, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Those were the words. He was preaching Christ. Preaching the gospel. It's the word keruso. Used 61 times to proclaim something that exists. Keruso, K-E-R-U-S-S-O, just like Luke 4:18.
Jesus said, I came, said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach deliverance to them who are doing deliverance. Whereas we're supposed to preach, the word apostasis means a release from sins. But we are doing deliverance. Come on. How many are you? We are 16. What's your name? My name is Geisha. Where do you live? In the port. How many are you? No, we're not 20. We're to preach it, not do it. Turn around. I was somewhere. I was shocked. And somebody was doing the name. So if you have a dream that you have seen serpents, I said, Bible says be as wise as a serpent. Anyway, listen. They came and said, Holy Ghost, do it. I was watching, what's it? Do it again in my life. Said, fire! Fire! The lady was turned around. So, I noticed something. I'd never observed this. The person held the hand and he said, release your hand. Say, if your hands are like this, the deliverance will not happen. I said, what? He said, because everything must be closed. So that must be open. So that the demon can come out. Man, people have skills though. Where did you get all that from? It must be open. That you open this one. Oh yeah. The demon will fly out. All of them are just ignorant. So, words. Hallelujah. And as Peter spoke these words, what was he talking about? He was talking about Christ. Okay? In verse 37 to 38, he was talking about Christ. As Peter spoke these words, what happened? The Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Hallelujah. All of them that heard the word. Because Acts 5:32 says the Holy Ghost is given to all them that believe. That word believe, or that obey him, is the word hupakuo. H-U-P-A-K-O-U-O. Acts 5:32 and Acts 2:38. It means to listen well, to hear and submit. It's the same thing Paul said in Romans 10. They have not all obeyed the gospel. So then faith cometh by hearing. Verse 17. And hearing by the word. You find the same word obey. Hebrews 5:9. And Hebrews 2 Thessalonians 1:8. Again, another word used for that word obey. It means to rely upon, to be persuaded by a higher authority. Is the word pithakio. I'll spell it for you. P-E-I-T-H-A-R-C-H-E-O. P-E-I-T-H-A-R-C-H-E-O. You'll find it in Acts 5:29, Acts 27:21, and Titus 3:1. So, these guys, the first thing that happened in the house of Cornelius was that they obeyed the gospel. Peter was preaching. So they obeyed the gospel. That was the first thing that happened. They believed, which is they obeyed the gospel. Now, follow this, please. What's the second thing they did? Obviously, their hearts were purified by faith. Acts 15:7-9. Their hearts were purified by faith. That's the second thing that happened. The house of Cornelius. The third thing that happened in the house of Cornelius was that they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Which is utterance. Because the Bible says, the Holy Ghost fell on them, which believed, they had believed. And then, in verse 46, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Go to Acts 11. Let's see how Peter describes it again. Verse 15, no, we read 14 earlier. 15 says, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how, Acts 11:16, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I should withstand God when they heard these words? They held their peace and glorified God, saying, then God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So,
Three things. One, they obeyed the gospel. They heard to believe. Two, their hearts were purified. Three, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now let me ask you, what else did Peter do there? Go to Acts 10, verse 47. Acts 10, 47. After they had spoken in tongues in 46, let's see 47 together. Let's go. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which we have received the Holy Ghost as well as you? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry 7 days. He commanded them. I am not sure Peter baptized anybody. But obviously he gave an instruction for water baptism. I'm going to ask you, who sent him to baptize him? Did God say he should? Did the angel mention it? Did Cornelius ask for it? No. It was just a custom he was using. We just saw it. That the instruction he was told was to speak. Am I right? But he added his own. Like all the apostles did. No one asked him to use water. Are you following? Now let me ask. Let me ask this quickly. He asked them to be baptized with water after they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Did the 120 get baptized with water after Acts 2? So this was just a pure tradition they were following. Pure tradition. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Just like Paul himself baptized with water. But that's not the baptism of the New Testament. Because Paul says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Yet, in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, he says, by one spirit, are you all baptized into one? 1 Corinthians 12, 13. So, quickly read this. Alright, quickly. This notice that Peter did not mention water baptism in Acts 11. He didn't talk about it. He didn't say, and then I went ahead. He didn't say that. So that gives me the credence to think he didn't carry it out. Because he didn't mention it. He didn't narrate it. Come on, are you following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying here? He didn't narrate it. If I Acts 15, he didn't mention water baptism at all. Now, quickly, what does water do? And what can it not do? What do we need it for? Number one, water needed for obeying the gospel? Huh? No. Number two, does water wash away sins? No. Does water immerse us into Christ? No. It doesn't. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If any has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Not the water of Christ. By his Spirit that he has given to us. 1 John 3, 24. So it's not. Number 4. Does water put us in the kingdom of God? Huh? Come on. No. Does water add us to the church of God? No. Not at all. We are baptized by one spirit in the one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians, God has set everyone into the body. Verse 28. He did it himself, not water baptism. I know some people use water baptism for church membership. It's a false teaching. They use it to confirmation. And then they now wear wedding gown. Then they now take Holy Communion. Confusion. Well, I was a confusion, break a bone. Double wahala for dead. But you know what I mean? Dead body gets the accident. Confused person and a confused pastor. That's confusion, break a bone. Don't like Bella. That's your business. I didn't say he should do what he does. I'm just saying what he said. Does water baptism make you a child of God? No. God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Galatians 4:6. Romans 8, verse 16. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 15, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba Father. Does water give us eternal life? No. He that has the Son has life. He that doesn't have the Son does not have life. This is a record that God has given us eternal life. 1 John 5:10-13. These things I write unto you, that you know that you have everlasting life, or you have eternal life. Do we receive the Spirit with water baptism? No. So, what does it do? Nothing. Come on, guys, are you following what I'm saying? But I'll tell you what it does. What it does is that it takes away the sanctity of the message of Christ. That's what all these practices do. They take your attention off the reality. That's what they do. So as much as it does nothing, it is not harmless. It's not harmless. So why did they now persist? Why did the customs persist? They persisted because the church was growing. And that's what Brother Higgins said. And I'm grateful for Brother Higgins. Brother Higgins, Kenneth Higgins, he said, you cannot build doctrine on the book of Acts because it was a baby church just growing. 15 chapters in 28 chapters, they were still saying, can the Jews be Christians? Can the non-Jews be Christians? 15. Half. That means that as at Acts 15, they were still saying that you and I may not be believers. Acts 10 and 11, sorry. But Acts 15, they were still saying, except we are Jews. They were still saying, because to be circumcised as a man of Moses means that you are converting to be a Jew. They still in their minds were saying, you cannot be a Yoruba and say you are born again. And that didn't stop there. Do you know that by Acts 22, they were still accusing Paul of the same thing? Up till Acts 25. So what they said, you cannot build a doctrine on a growing church. That's why the epistles are the only authority for doctrine and Bible interpretation. Are you with me? Are you with me? I know I've sped up a little bit. I need to purpose it because of time. So, look at this quickly. Acts 11:2. We said it. How would you go to the house of a Gentile to eat? Acts 15:1-2. How would you say people who are saved should not be circumcised and become Jews? Acts 22. They accuse Paul. Look at it. Acts 22. They accuse Paul. So Acts 21, pardon me. They accuse Paul. In verse 20. This, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews, Acts 21 verse 20, there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Thousands. Thousands. And they are informed of thee, that you teach all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it therefore? The multitudes must need to come together, for they will hear that you have come. Do therefore this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. That means it was still an issue in chapter 22. The reality of the new covenant had not dawned on these guys. Is somebody following me? Are you following me? The reality of the new covenant had not come to their heart. And they were doing church. They had apostles, they were doing miracles. And the church was growing. You can have a large denomination. And the head pastor is an ignorant person. Are you following what I'm saying? Come, are you following what I'm saying? A large denomination.
That means thousands and thousands. How many were in the world then that we had thousands and thousands and thousands who were still following Moses? Even the Jews did not follow Moses like that. Those who left Egypt. It is these ones that carried it on their head. Even Moses did not follow Moses. But that was a practice. For many years. So you see, the practices. Obviously, water baptism was a Jewish custom of purification. Pure and simple. John merely gave voice to it using the River Jordan. Matthew 3:15, we've been there before. Now quickly, you now ask, why then were Gentiles made to undergo it? Why? Because even under the law, Moses gave provision for strangers to be so cleansed. Numbers 19. Numbers 19. Are you there? Are you there? Verse 10. And he that gathered the ashes of Ephah shall wash, Numbers 19, shall wash his clothes and be unclean unto the heathen. And he says, it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourns among them for a statute forever. So there was provision for strangers. That is those who are not Jews. John 3:25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they were discussing John's baptism. And again, the Mosaic law involved different washings. Washings of things, washings of bodies. Hebrews 9:10. Which should only, the Old Testament, in meat and drinks and diverse washings. And carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. So, if you are taking notes, write something in your material. That the book of Acts can be described as a transition to doctrine. They were transitioning from the law to the new covenant. So we allow them. But we cannot build a church on the book of Acts. And that's an error that has been perpetuated in the church world for many, many centuries. That's why Paul's letters, you know, the book of Acts does not carry teaching. Paul's letters, and the apostles as well, were doctrinal. They teach, they explain. Go to Acts 16. Acts 16. This was another lady who obviously heard the gospel. Verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Verse 15. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have joined me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide, and she constrained us. Now, baptized here, is it water? No. No. Obviously not. Again, it's another text for someone whose heart had believed the gospel. Now go to verse 30. Verse 31. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I want you to put on your thinking caps here. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. and he spoke unto him and the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straight away. Now, let me ask you, whose stripes were washed? Huh? Thank you. You know, you can mix up that text. Who washed Paul? Whose stripes were washed? Huh? Who was baptized? Who was baptized? Whose stripes were washed? What is stripe? Stripe is marks of Cain. Bleeding. Who was bleeding? Paul or the jailer? Who was in jail? Okay. So whose stripes were washed? Who was baptized? Look at this now. Huh? Who was baptized? Who was baptized? Okay, wait. No, not difficult. How many people were with Paul? Even the Paul and Silas, and the Holy Ghost came down. Even at the Dozen School, you know that. How many people were in jail? Paul? Thank you. So, whose stripes were washed? Paul and... So, who was baptized? He and all his. Huh? No, don't mix it up. You know that verse was not written in chapters and verses. So separate it. Who was baptized? Baptized by who? Water or the Holy Ghost? Whose body was washed? Paul and... So, Acts 18, we've been there. Obviously, like I said, Stephanus. Obviously, what Paul said in Corinth. Stephanus appeared to be a Jew. Acts 16, verse 15. Let's run there quickly. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that is the first fruit of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And I'm glad of the coming of Stephanus, verse 17, and Fortunus, and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they are supplied. It looked like they were Jews. I'm not submitting that fully, but that's how it sounds. However, one important fact is what we have established when we started. Christ did not send anybody to baptize anyone with water. Hallelujah. I know the way people, there's one of our members who was talking with the sister. The sister attends another church. So they were having a Bible discussion. The sister was, asked the question, your church, do you people, this is very well, three key things, she said. Do you pay tithes? She said, no. Do you do what about them? Said, no. Ha. Do you do Holy Communion? Said no, that's a cult. And I kind of felt, I thought it was those who eat that are in a cult. And those who go for ceremonies. Said no, that's a cult. She wasn't even ready to listen to the explanation of the word. And this is Paul saying, Christ did not send me. So tell your neighbor, Christ did not send you to baptize anyone with water. He sent you to preach. You know, he didn't send Peter to baptize the water in the house of Cornelius, but Peter was doing it. Well, he commanded it. The words were very clear. Speak, preach, preach. But we always want to add our own.
Hallelujah. Are you following this? Glory to God. Look at Acts 18. Verse 24. I've been there before, but I just want to go over it again. Verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And we said, the baptism of John here is John's message. What was John's message? John's message was Christ. Christ will come and take away sins. John's message was that he will baptize with the Holy Ghost. And that was what this man knew. But Acts 19, verse 1. And Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, don't let that word certain disciples make you think that they were believers. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That means Paul assumed that they were believers. And then they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. That already submits to you that they were not Christians. He said, now said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And then they said, unto John's baptism. Please, this is a very important text. If you have not heard about the Holy Ghost, which is the baptism of the new covenant, that is salvation, unto them what were you baptized? Said John's baptism, which is they were baptized with water. So Paul stepped back. Then he said unto them, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying. So there was John's baptism, the practice. There was John's baptism, the message. We've been there before, right? Saying, what did he say? Unto the people that they should what? Huh? Oh, come on, everybody. Come on, talk to me. That they should what? Can you increase the volume a little bit? That they should what? Believe on what? That should come after him. That is on who? Christ Jesus. When they heard this, what happened? They were what? Were they immersed in the water? Is this okay? So, can we say verse 5 was when they got saved? Right? Come on. When they heard, they were baptized. So, obviously, they were not Christians, unlike Apollos. So, they were baptized. Two things happened. They were baptized, then he now laid hands upon them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues, and then they prophesied. Saved, then filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that clear? Is that clear? Are we okay? Is this clear enough for us? So, water baptism is a Jewish custom for purification. That's what it is. Christ did not send you, did not send me, did not send Peter, did not send Paul, did not send James or anybody at all to baptize with water. We were sent to preach the gospel. And so, this is what Paul says. And this is what Paul says. He said, he has sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel. So, every time we read baptize, in the Great Commission, Mark 16:15, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Matthew 28, baptizing them, teaching them to observe. Every time we read that, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. The preaching of the gospel. Acts 1:5, not many days hence, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Look at Peter. 1 Peter 3. That is Peter, who commanded them in the house of Cornelius to be baptized with water. 1 Peter 3, verse 20. which sometimes, 1 Peter 3:20, I'll wait for you. Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was up preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Let's take verse 21 together. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This settled. He's saying the baptism I'm talking about here is not putting away of the filth of the flesh, but of the heart. So baptism in the new covenant happens where? On the heart. Not in the body. That's why he uses the word a figure. That is, water is a figure. The Greek word antitupos. Antitupos. That is a copy, a type. Or better still, a Greek scholar called it a predictive symbol. A symbol that predicts something. That is, every time John was using water, he was predicting the Holy Ghost. And today, we have nothing to predict. We already have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9:24, the word antitupos. Hebrews 9:24. Hebrews 9:24. Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. Antitupos. The figures of the true. A predictive symbol. So, we have read Paul, we have read Peter. Did you discover something? That no New Testament writer asked anyone or taught water baptism. Not one. What we have heard in over 2,000 years of the church history are people that have followed Jewish tradition, including Africans. That's what we have. So quickly, let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:11. Now, before I go further, are we okay with the book of Acts? Huh? Do you understand it? Can you explain to somebody else? Huh? Thank you. 1 Corinthians 6. Made up my mind, I'm finishing this series today. Mind is made up. I made up my mind. Oh, God's way. Verse 11. Let's take it together. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Let's go. Such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Say, I'm washed by the Spirit of God. So water can wash me, the Spirit of God that can. 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Then again, Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5. Let's take that one together. Titus 3:5 and 6. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Titus 3:5 and 6. Let's go. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Ephesians 4:5. So I said, well, we have two kinds of baptism. The baptism of the Holy Ghost and the baptism of water. No. We have just one. Ephesians 4. I'm going to read verse 4. And then we read verse 4 and 5 together. Let's go. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Someone say one baptism. Hallelujah. Now, did you notice that the term baptism of the Spirit is silent in the epistles? Baptism of the Spirit. We'll read the word baptism in the epistles, and you will not find the word Spirit except one
area that I don't have time to explain today. Romans 6:4.
I'll close here. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Not, you don't find the word spirit, and you don't find the word water, definitely. Ephesians 4:5, one baptism. 1 Peter 3:21, the baptism that now saves. Now the word baptized, I think there's a Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who had raised him from the dead. 1 Corinthians 1:13, 14, 15, and 16, all talking about water baptism. 1 Corinthians 1:13, 14, 15, and 16. And what was Paul's conclusion about that? Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So whatever he did, the house of Crispus and Gaius, the house of Stephanus, he wasn't sent by Christ. That wasn't part of his ministry. Water baptism is not part of your ministry. In the same way, people doing entrepreneurship seminars is not part of their ministry. They're just doing it. It's not part of their ministry. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what it does before we close. I've said that before. Then you find baptized into Moses. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10:2. Identification. Or made to follow Moses. 1 Corinthians 10:2. But then you find we're all baptized into the body by one spirit. And one more. 1 Corinthians 15:29. The dead are baptized. Talking about the washing of dead bodies. Which really we have no insight into that. We just avoid that altogether. Galatians 3:27. Let's read that one together. Galatians 3:27. What does this baptism do to us? Galatians 3:27. Father, our sins are washed. Amen. We're justified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're sanctified. We're made righteous. Our hearts are purified. Then look at this. Galatians 3:27. Let's go together. Let's go. Everybody, let's go. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, I put on Christ. Hallelujah. That's what he does to us. And so imagine this competing with water. It takes away the reality. When you and I are to be learning about the workings of the Spirit, we are going to the river. And Paul will say that this is the enticing words of man's wisdom. It's man's wisdom. You find that all those customs, whether it is bread and wine or fish or beans or water, they are just the excellency of man's wisdom. And then people's faith will now stand in the wisdom of men, not in the power of God. That's what he does. Paul says, lest I make the cross of Christ of none effect. So we have the word spirit, the word baptized, used carefully. But we have the word spirit, or the spirit of the Holy Ghost, over 260 times. So look at where our emphasis should be, in the spirit. Our emphasis will never be on things. Never. So somebody was saying they were doing something recently. I didn't even know. I had even posted. I didn't even know. I heard they were doing it later on after I had mentioned it. That let us be carrying the cross. They knew. It's so funny. And they were asking Christians to come to church with a cross. Just like somebody asked Christians to come to church with a comb. Comb? They bring a cross. I said, the Bible never says go into all the world and take the cross. We have to preach the message of the cross. The message. The death of Jesus Christ.
his burial, and his resurrection, and his ascension to the right hand of the Father. That is the message. That is the baptism. Hallelujah. I said that is the baptism. Hallelujah. Our baptism is in words, not in things. It's by the Holy Ghost and not by water. Every time we reduce the things of God to things, earthly, natural things, we make the message of non-effect. That's what we do. What do we have? What have we received? Romans chapter 8 verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life which is in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. You are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. And so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any has not the Spirit of Christ, is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead to sin and to righteousness. Oh, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ shall quicken your own mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. So brethren, we are debtors to the flesh, not to walk to live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do modify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the Spirit of bodies again to fear. Verse 15, but the Spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba Father. I say the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If we're children, they were heirs of God, and joint heirs together with Christ. It's criminal to replace the work of the Spirit with things. It's wrong to replace the work of the gospel with bread and wine. We're coming to that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But let's deal with this one first. Water baptism is a wrong practice. Water baptism is a practice that is against the gospel of Christ. Water baptism is actually almost resembling disobedience to the message, because it has been replaced over 2,000 years ago with the work of the Holy Spirit. I think this is clear enough. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. So right now, we are filled with the Spirit. We have received the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We are in the Spirit. We have the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the language of the new covenant, the Spirit. In conclusion, the new covenant has no symbols, whether it's a cross or water or food. The new covenant deals with spiritual realities. Colossians chapter 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. I'll hold that for now. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days. Let's take verse 20, verse 17 together. Which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. The word body there means the reality is in Christ. What have we replaced by Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. And Christ is in us today. That's why when he was talking in John 6, he said, your fathers ate the bread and they died in the wilderness. So if you eat this bread, you shall hunger again. He said, he that eats the bread I'm talking about will never hunger anymore. Hallelujah. And they were wondering, what is he talking about? He said, you take my flesh, you take my blood. In other words, that means you believe in my death and my sacrifice. You have life in you. You are saying, his death, his flesh, his blood. Ha! That's cannibalism. So they're really angry. He said, the flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. Our baptism is in words. Our reality is in the Word of God. And that is what we have today. Are you grateful? Are you thankful? Lift your hands and worship.
give you praise. Thank you.